On the morning following my tour of the ship, I was awake early, listening to the sounds of footsteps on the steel deck above my head. Suddenly, a knock came at the door, and a voice announced, 7 o'clock, sir. We were due to leave the basin very shortly, so I got up and went on deck. At the entrance to the wardroom hatch, the captain was standing talking to the senior sub. He turned to a quartermaster as I passed and said, Pipe, four-part forward. A few moments later, the shrill note of a pipe sounded, followed by a cry of, Four-part forward, after-part aft. Special duty men to their stations. The captain then left for the bridge while I went up to the forecastle with the sub. By this time, the five outer ships had penned out of the basin and Telemachus was already moving out from alongside us. As her stern swung clear of our bow, a voice from our own bridge gave the orders, Let go midships spring, and then let go forward. Our bow drifted out slightly from that of Venturus, which had the berth inside ours. Let go aft came from the bridge, and then slow ahead both, port 10. Our stern slid past the bow of Venturus, and next moment the helm put her hard over. The starboard engine was stopped and then put slow astern. A few minutes later, we were alongside Telemachus at the outer end of the pen. Venturus and then Vanquisher followed in astern of us, and the gates were closed. When we passed out into the river, the earlier batch of ships had already proceeded down the Humber and had anchored in Grimsby Roads. We did the same and waited until Abdiel and Vanock arrived. By 9:30, the full flotilla had slipped and proceeded downriver. Vehement, being fifth ship in the line, we had soon passed the long, curved sandspit of Spurn Point at the entrance to the Humber and were crossing the East Coast War Channel. The latter was a buoyed passage for north and southbound merchant shipping and was regularly swept to keep it clear of mines. There was a fresh breeze blowing from the northeast, and the speed of the flotilla was increased to 22 knots as we drew clear of the land. I found the aftergun platform a good place from which to get a view, and I watched the flat line of the coast as it gradually vanished over the horizon. Our white wake, which had been so prominent in the shallow waters of the Humber, had fallen away appreciably. But two steep plumes now rose where the bow of Telemachus cut through the sea, 300 feet astern of us. The ensign was standing out almost straight from our mainmast, and its flutter could be heard from the gun platform below. Further forward, the only sounds were the faint note of the turbines rising from the engine room hatch. The hum of the fans carrying a forced draft to the boilers, and the whistle of the wind through the mast stays and signal halyards.